blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take.
Blessed be your name. Truly, blessed be your name. Yours is the only name. It's the name above every name. You're the only name, you're the only one in all the universe that is worthy of our worship and our praise. And I thank you that you allow us to come before you through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we can come boldly before your throne. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed for us and the forgiveness that we experience through faith in Christ. Father, I pray that this morning would not be just another Sunday morning, but that it would be a moment for us to reflect, for us to make changes for every one of us. We have things in our lives that don't honor you because we're human and all have sinned and we fall short. And there are things that we need to do. There's things that we need to improve upon. Attitudes of our heart that we need to let go of. Sin that we need to walk away from. More importantly, Heavenly Father, you have called us to be your disciples, which means in every way to walk with you. To pattern our life after you. But Father, I just pray this morning you would fill us with your Spirit. Help us to be aware of your presence and help us to make those changes that your Spirit would lead us into. Help us to freely choose you this morning. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. And it is a wonderful, wonderful Independence weekend. It's going to be a fun time. And, of course, tomorrow there's going to be all the fireworks and all that. I hope you all are safe. And we're going to be having it in our parking lot over here. It always fills up, just packs up with people around the community come because you can see the fireworks over the building. And so we usually have everything. It's just a packed place over there. So we, a few years ago, we started having hot dogs and snow cones and just getting and greeting people. And so we want to encourage you to be there just to greet the community that comes and get to know them and start building relationships. That's why we do that. And that's a fun time. You know, when you start thinking about this weekend and all that it means, one of the big, big issues here is that we are, in fact, if there was ever going to be a trademark of our nation, it would be that we love freedom. We love freedom. In fact, if you travel any distance at all, anywhere, then you're confronted with that idea. You're confronted with other people in the world. When you ask them, what do you think about America? What do you think America is all about? The number one thing that comes off the mouth, and this is in the places that I've traveled, this is my experience, that they will say, well, America, you're free. And of course, it means something different for them. In fact, when I would tell them I was also from Texas, they would immediately go, oh, you are in America, you are free, and you have a horse and a gun, right? And I'd think, well, I do have a gun, but I don't have a horse, you know? And they're always really disappointed. But you're in Texas, you know? But the idea that you are in America means you're free. You can free to, you can do anything you ever want to do. That's how the world sees that. We love free. We love the way, in fact, if you attach free to a word, it just seems to be, it's a better thing. Here a few weeks ago, I'd gotten up real early to go over to Kroger's for something because I'm just a wonderful, dutiful husband, you know, and she ordered me to go to Kroger's or something. I don't know why. But anyway, I pull up. It's real early. And I see this guy with this beautiful dog. And so I stopped and said, "What a pretty dog." And he said, "Yeah, we're here for the opening of the PetSmart right over there next to Kroger's, the new Kroger's." And I said, "They open this early?" And he said, "No, they open at 9 o'clock. It's their grand opening." And I said, "Jerry, it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours early." And he said, "I know, but the first 30 people that get in the door, they get some free stuff." And I said, "Well, what do you get?" He goes, "I don't know, but it's free." And I thought, that's it. It doesn't matter. And he said, "And if you're not in the first 30, but the first 100 that get in, they don't get as much free stuff, but they even get free stuff." Well, I'm not for standing in any line, but I pause for a moment and go, should I go home and get River and come back just to get the free stuff? Whatever it is. I mean, it could be silly stuff, but you're just like, it's free. We just love the idea, free. And I think a part of that, it's a part of our nature, human nature. We like the idea of knowing I'm free to choose whatever I want to choose. Take little kids, for instance, you say, "Okay, you can choose anything you want to do. What do you want to do?" They just get all excited. Of course, they're confused at that point. "You mean I have no rules? I don't even know what that means." Take a bunch of kids and walk them across the street, and as soon as they walk inside the gym and they know they can just kind of run in there, I don't know what it is about kids. They will all take off. You take senior adults, they do not do this, but take little kids over there. As soon as they walk into the gym, they take off running and scream. It's like, "We're free to go anywhere." They just start running around crazy. It's just kind of crazy, and it's fun to see them. It's like, we are just free, and that whole idea of freedom. I think when we come to Scripture, we get a deeper understanding of what that really means. It's not just being free. Notice what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Now, Galatians, the book of Galatians, was written to a group of churches in the area of Galatia. Okay, that was an area, kind of like if you were to have the Bay Coast area or something like that. It's an area, and there were several churches there, and Paul wrote this letter to be passed around in these churches that he had established. Because he had come in and he had established the churches and people had gotten saved, they had turned their hearts and lives over to Jesus Christ, and then right in behind Paul slipped these Judaizers that were trying to confuse everybody and saying, wait a minute, you know, you're not just free to do anything. You need to remember that you still have to adhere to all the Old Testament laws and all these rituals and all the sacrifices and everything that our religion has always told you. You can embrace Jesus, but you got to bring in all that other stuff. And so Paul was writing this to affirm the fact that they are free in Christ and they're not bound to that old law. And so he writes this, and one of the primary verses in that is chapter 5, verse 1. He says, "For freedom Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Freedom. The idea that we have been set free, and it's not just as a nation, but it's as the body of Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we would be free. But then he says here, "But be careful now that you wouldn't somehow, in your freedom, go back into slavery." See, in this nation that we have, we see the abuse of freedom. We see we have free speech, and then we see people that are abusing that. We have the freedom to believe anything you want, and some people believe destructive, horrible things. We see a nation that somehow has twisted the idea of freedom, and they have now said that a woman has the freedom to murder the child in her womb, and yet in the same country, if you catch and ship a pregnant lobster, then you can be fined up to $10,000. Is that not a strange upside-down world? Isn't it strange that we have the freedom, but we have so abused our freedom that it has become, as Paul said, a yoke of slavery upon us? When freedom steps away from the Word of God and says, I will be free to indulge myself, I will be free to involve myself in any kind of debauchery, any kind of thing I want to, irregardless of what the Word of God says, then that freedom then has become a shackle around them and will become destructive. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus speaking to some Jews, he said this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Incredible verse there. We are all about, the number one goal of our church is making disciples. I'm going to ask you, what's the church all about here? It's that we are bent on making disciples of Christ, becoming a disciple of Christ, making disciples, which is teach and train people how to become. And he says here, if you abide in my word, if you saturate yourself with my word, if you live here in the Word of God and obey that and live in that and let it come through your life, he says, then you are my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I love that. It's one of those verses that we learn when we're little bitty kids. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And it's true almost in all kinds of aspects. You will know the truth. The truth about who Jesus Christ is. The truth about sin. And that truth will set you free. And then he says this. They answered him, we are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. Does that sound like Americans or what? We're not slaves to anybody. We're Americans. We're free. And that's what they were saying. We're free. It's strange that he say this because they were, at the time they said that, they were enslaved to the Romans. They were under the Roman boot. In fact, had they forgotten about Egypt? Had they forgotten about Babylon and all the other times they'd been captives? And so here they say, we've never been slaves to anyone, which is a crazy statement. How is it that you say we will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Anyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. See, in this country that we are so bent on being free, the reality is that when we use that freedom to indulge in something that's ungodly, that ungodly behavior then becomes a shackle around us. And though we want to boast and say, I'm free to choose this, I'm free to choose that, I'm free to get involved in that destructive, I'm free to do anything that I want to do, and yet that freedom is immediately what shackles us and takes away ultimately all of our freedom. Go talk to somebody whose body is racked with disease because they have expressed every one of their desires in freedom. Go talk to somebody who is now in drug rehab trying to break the addiction of drugs because they are free to express anything and do anything and take anything they wanted. And it doesn't stop there. It's the sin of arrogance. It's the free of anger. It's the sin of the of lust. Any of those kinds of things breaks that freedom, becomes a bondage for us. And when you go back to Galatians, there are three things that Paul seems to mention here that we have to be very, very careful of, because those are those things that destroy our freedom. And he mentions that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, and he says this. At the very beginning of chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? You hear that? Did you get saved by the law or was it by hearing with faith, by believing in faith Jesus Christ? Was it some kind of ritual, religious ritual that got you saved? Or was it by giving your life to Christ by faith? That's what he's saying here. He says, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Having your life begin by the Spirit of God, that God made you alive in Christ, and that from God, that faith in Christ, and now you're saying that you're going to go and you're going to express that now and try to grow in Christ in the law? You're going to try to make yourself, I'm going to have my list of things. You know what? And using that freedom to say, I was free in Christ, but now I've put myself, I need to do all my checks. I've gone to church. I've gone to Sunday school. I had my quiet time this morning. I'm going to do all my things. I did this. I did that. It's like a checklist. And that's the same thing. It's that legalism. It says, what are we doing? We're supposed to be free in Christ, which means it's not a matter of me filling the checklist out. That would be like me going home and saying, you know what, I'm a good husband. And the reason I'm a good husband is because I have done all of these things. I took out the trash and I helped with this and I took care of the dog and I did this and I did this and I did this. So I must be a good husband. And, you know, a wife looks at you and says, but you're unloving and you're unkind. You go, yeah, but I did all this. See, it's not that. It's not the rules. It's not all the tasks that we do. That's what Paul's bringing out here. He's saying, have you actually thinking that because you came to Christ by your faith in Jesus, by faith, that now somehow you can perfect yourself by some legalistic system? And then he says this in verse 16, back down to chapter 5, verse 16. But I say to you, and this is the solution to this, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now when he says walk by the Spirit, he reiterates that in verse 18 when he says this, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then down in verse 25, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So he mentions walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and living by the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit. Really what he's talking about here is this daily routine, not of a list, but daily routine of saturating yourself in the Word of God. That's what it means to become a disciple of Christ. To fall in love with Christ means that I completely immerse my life in Him, and that is through the Word of God, through prayer, through worship, through fellowship, and through service. That God's everywhere, and that's really what it's talking about when it says walk and being led and live and keep in step with. It's talking about daily conduct, by living in the Word all the time, by saturating, taking the Word of God and studying it and reviewing it and applying it to my life. It's not a matter of saying, you know what, I've gone to church on Sunday, so that must be it. I put some money in the offering plate, that must be it. No, it's a matter of taking the Word of God and saying, I'm every bit. To say that I'm a part of a team, the Olympics are about to kick off, to say I'm a part of the Olympic team because I put a jersey on and I showed up and I sat on the edge of the bench, but I never participated and I never really went through the training or anything else would be ridiculous. It means that I have gone in there and I have gotten all in. Jump in the deep end and start swimming. That's what it means to become a disciple of Christ. That's what it means to walk by the Spirit. And that is where the freedom really resides. The freedom in Christ resides in our being so involved in the life of Christ that He is just everything to us. Notice what He says in chapter 4, verse 9. But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? And then verse 10, you observe days and months and seasons and years. And by that what he means is you've gone back to your rituals. Now see, we don't have the rituals, right? We don't have sacrifices. We don't come on the first day of the month and bring an animal up here and kill it and do all that. We don't do all that. But we need to be careful that we don't think that we're not without our own rituals. We still have those. We still have our little checklist in our mind that says, you know what, if we go to this church or if I go to that church or if I do this and I sit in the right pew and I better not have everybody else sit in my pew kind of thing, you know, and I've got to have, everything's got to be just right. And he says, why are we doing that? That's not what it's all about. He says, because they were falling back into the old worship of Judaism, which is to go through the festivals and go through the sacrifices and adhere to all those things. And that's not what he's saying. You have broke free from that. Why would you put yourself back into that? Verse 15 of chapter 4, he says, what then has become of your blessedness, which is your joy, your happiness? He says, in that legalistic system of religion, there was nothing but sadness. What then became of your blessedness? Verse 14, before that, he says, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, now when you would read that, you would think, well, that's not a whole lot of freedom. If I'm supposed to be serving other people, serving God and serving other people, then where is the freedom for me? But in that life of servitude to Christ is so much freedom. See, the world sees it as if I become a Christian, then my world sinks down and I come into this really narrow little path of having to adhere all these laws and I give up everything and I give up all the pleasure and I give up all the joy and everything else that really could be mine. I have to give that up because life was all big and exciting and now it's funneled down to this little tiny narrow road that I have now that I have to go on and stay in. And that's not what God's saying. He's saying it's the opposite. He says that all of a sudden we've been living our life in this narrow little way of trying to indulge ourselves in everything that comes across our mind. And all it's done is put us in bondage and sends us to hell. And he says, and what I want to do is give you life and freedom so that you would then be able to see the freedom that comes by loving God and loving other people. The two greatest commands, to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love others as you love yourself. And as we do that, then all of a sudden life just completely opens up. We pattern ourselves, once again, becoming a disciple of Christ means that we pattern ourselves after Christ, the person who was always free. Nobody was ever any more free than Christ, and yet he gave himself up and went to the cross for us, and he is now glorified, sitting on the right hand of the Father. Do we not understand that this life is such a temporary thing, and yet we're trying to pick and out some kind of joy in this temporary area of life? Galatians 5:13 says this, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. See, that's the whole point of the Word of God. He comes back to them and says, stop thinking that it's just rules and regulations. It's loving each other. It's loving each other. The freedom to be able to choose, the freedom to be able to make choices, but those choices then, you see, I have a tendency to go home every night. I do. I've done that for a long time. Now, I'm a grown man. I can choose whatever I want to do. I could get my truck and go somewhere else. I'm not really choosing that, you know, of course. But I can. I could. But can you imagine the pain it would bring me and how sad it would be and how terrible? When I got married, I lost all my freedom. Do you realize that? In this very church, many, many decades ago, standing right up here, Dr. Teeley was up here, and he didn't say, Randy, you're about to lose all your freedom. He should have said that, but he didn't, okay? And I lost all my freedom, and I was shackled to my wife, and that has been the greatest joy I never had imagined. But see, some people see that as, oh my word, you would shackle yourself to one person, you would marry yourself and give up all the things that you might do if you were on your own. And there are things I gave up. But oh my, they are nothing compared to what I gained. And that's just a glimpse of what it is to be bonded with Christ. To think of the things that I gave up when I accepted Christ is nothing compared the joy that I've received in having Christ. Yeah, there are things that you give up in life. Judy and I have decided, because I guess we must have had a bad thought or something, but we decided to have puppies. So our river had a litter of puppies this week, 9 puppies. She's to blame. You are to blame, baby, and I just want to tell the whole church this right now. We get 3 hours of sleep, then we get up and feed puppies. And I don't know about you people that have puppies, the dogs that they feed their own puppies and they take care of their own puppies. You just go by and look at them and go, oh, how cute. Doesn't happen in our house. Our just dog walks by and goes, oh, how cute. And she walks away. We're like, oh, what? Come back. Feed these puppies. Every 3 hours, we're up feeding puppies. One of them has to be bottle fed. There's no freedom in that at all, okay? But there has been a whole lot of joy, and there's been a lot of fun. And you know, the biggest part of that is we brought our grandkids over, and they went through this whole thing. And they were grossed out, and they were amazed and all of that. But to be able to share that experience with them and that little bit of time with them in that was the greatest moment. We just, Judy and I and 2 of our grandkids were there, and it was a fabulous night. It started at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and went to 3 o'clock in the morning. And yet, I wouldn't have replaced it. It was a joyful time to be And to see on little Paige's face as she was standing right there with Nana, helping deliver puppies and all that, and to see little Jonah over there going, oh, like that, you know. And all of a sudden, dogs do what they do when they have a puppy and they started, you know, cleaning up and doing stuff like that. And Jonah's going, oh, and he'd run out of the room, and then he'd come back in the room, and he'd run out of the room, and he'd come back in the room. But seeing through all of that, the little bit that we give up in the discomfort and the lack of sleep and those kinds of things is a small thing compared to the joy. And isn't that just everything in life, marriage or grandkids or anything that we experience, is just a little bit of a foreshadow. It's like a little piece that God keeps telling us, do you not understand? That's what it's like when you give your life to me. And when I say, when we give our life to Christ, it means I take my life and I freely say, Jesus, I want to give you my life. I want to confess you as my Lord and Savior. I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I commit myself to you. And I am no longer free. I'm going to be free in Christ. And I will become your servant, God, and I will serve you all my life. And in doing that, I experience more joy and more satisfaction and more hope and more peace than I can even describe. That is freedom. The freedom we have as a nation is great. We've abused it. We've thrown it out the window. We really have totally walked away from that, and we've put ourselves under the bondage of that freedom. But folks, our nation will never be fixed politically. It will never be fixed economically. It will only be fixed when individuals give their heart to Christ and begin to love Him and love others as He has said in the Word. Only then, when we are free in Christ, will we ever be free. You pray with me. Father in heaven, I thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. I thank you that you have given us the strength, the will, the freedom to be able to choose you. And Father, I thank you that for so many, they have chosen you. They've chosen to make you their Lord and Savior. And I pray that we would choose today to walk with you. Sometimes as Christians, as born-again Christians, we choose to still walk our own way in disobedience, and that only ends in hurt. So Heavenly Father, I pray that we would choose today to walk by you, to be led by you, to live in step with you, to truly become a disciple of Jesus Christ, and to train others how to teach and train others to be disciples. Father, if that's not on our priority list, then I pray that we would recommit to that today, to walking with you moment by moment. We have the freedom here this morning to choose that. And Heavenly Father, there may be some here today that they've never chose you. They have not. They've chosen to walk away from you. And they may know you, know of you, know that you did die on the cross for them, but they've yet to give their life to you, to pray and ask you into their heart, to commit themselves to you. Ask you to forgive them of the sin that's in their life that only you can forgive. And Father, I pray that if there's someone here today that is not a born-again child of God, if they've not committed their life, then they would do that this morning. There's no greater freedom in all the world than becoming the child of God and knowing that you are now free to live your life in Christ for eternity. Father, we love you, and I just pray that your will would be accomplished. Please, freely, have your way with our hearts and lives now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Church, would you stand as Pastor Joel leads us in this offertory time? You respond however God is leading you this morning. I will live in love. In our offertory. I want to encourage you folks, especially during these summer times, let's be faithful in our tithes. Ryan?
Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and openly worship in our freedom. Thank you, and we obviously owe a great debt to those who served and sacrificed to have these freedoms. Lord, I pray now that in our gratitude and also in our obedience, allow us to give back to you according to your commands. Pray that you would bless these offerings, tithes, furtherment of your kingdom.
Amen. Thank you so much, Paula. Well, church family, I hope that you have a safe and wonderful tomorrow on Independence Day. And remember that tomorrow night, starting about 6:30, we're going to be up here in our parking lot. If you'd like to come up and join us and set up and have a tailgate, it's just setting up in your vehicles, pull out your lawn chairs, and then when the fireworks kick off, it's all kind of fun. But we just get to visit and greet people and meet people in the community is what that's all about. So encourage you to be there. But do have a wonderful time. Pray you have a blessed week. Let's stand and join hands across this place as Joel leads us out. God bless you, church family.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.